It's time for Radio Vermont's News and Public Affairs program, Open Mic. The phone lines to speak with John Walters are open at 802-244-1777 and toll-free 1-877-291-8255. And now here's your host of Open Mic, John Walters.
Thank you very much, John Noyes. Not every day you get a custom live intro to your radio show. Glad to be here this morning. Mike Smith off this week, and he has had a variety of people sitting in the host chair, and I thank him for inviting me to do so today. For those of you not familiar with me, I occasionally sit in with Mike to talk about Vermont politics. I am a blogger mostly these days, and my political blog is the Vermont Political Observer, online at thevpo.org, and my Twitter handle is thevpo1. That's the number one, because the VPO was already taken on Twitter by the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. Jim Lockridge, James Lockridge of Big Heavy World coming up to talk Vermont and Burlington arts, the good and the bad, and we will do that after these words. It's Open Mic on WDEV News Radio. John Walters sitting in for Mike Smith today on the show, 244-1777, the number, and the toll-free number, 1-877-291-8255. Had a very lively discussion last hour with David Hall, the Mormon entrepreneur, millionaire, and visionary who wants to build a planned community in the Tunbridge area. And I appreciate all the phone calls we got during that chat this hour. Something completely different, I suppose, and that is Vermont arts community. Vermont has a substantial and productive arts community. It's a major driver of the economy, in fact, but anytime you have an established, successful thing, a certain amount of complacency might sneak in, a resistance to change or new ideas, maybe. Well, my guest this hour has some stuff to say about that. James Lockridge is founder and head of the Big Heavy World Foundation, a Burlington-based nonprofit that supports and promotes area music and musicians, among other things. Lately, he's offered some sharp thoughts about arts establishment, both in Burlington and in Montpelier, and he's with me in studio to talk about all that and more. James, welcome.
Thank you, John. Very happy to be here.
Before we get to your views on the arts community, let's introduce people to Big Heavy World. Some listeners, I'm sure, are very familiar with it, but others probably are not. So I guess could you give us the elevator pitch version of what this foundation is all about?
Of course. We've been around about 20 years. We're a group of volunteers who have some passion for original music coming from Vermont. We spend our energy on a number of projects that either archive or promote music from the state. Our music archive has thousands of recordings by Vermont artists. We operate a website that's a window onto the music industry and do projects like a community radio station in Burlington, a low-power FM station that has artists on regularly and plays Vermont-made music in between DJs. We operate a tour van we loan to artists across the state if that's a necessary resource to them to, you know, bring their music outside of Vermont. Mm-hmm. So we are always thinking creatively about how to serve music in the state, and we do that in ways that are very fun for a lot of very young people, high school and college aged volunteers for the most part.
I'm lousy at guessing people's ages, but I'm sort of figuring that you were probably in your early 20s when Big Heavy World started.
We started Big Heavy in 1996. I was 28 years old.
Yep. Okay. You're a little older than I thought, which is fine. Did you ever think this was going to last this long and become kind of this big sprawling entity that it is?
I think the best I've figured out is that I have a skill set that I apply to having a career, and Big Heavy World, by its nature, has become my calling. And you know, those two haven't joined yet. I'm a volunteer at Big Heavy World like everyone else. We do our work in the evening for the most part. But it's sort of a low-level background hum of a passion that, you know, has always been there.
So what do you do for money?
I direct the Youth Safety Council of Vermont, which is responsible for a program of demonstrations that help high school student drivers understand the dangers of distraction. And I help coordinate a couple of the working groups of the Vermont Highway Safety Alliance, based in VTrans.
Mm-hmm. You're doing worthwhile stuff all the time.
Oh, it's all fun.
Yeah. There are a lot of people in the Burlington area who are so committed to local music that they are doing what you do, which is basically working really hard for little or no money.
I think that that's fair to say. It's a struggle for artists. One of our perspectives as an institution at Big Heavy World is that it's one thing to find resources, gather them up, and make them available, which is useful in its own right, but equally important to us is to help build the family of Vermont musicians, to help connect them with one another, because we understand the way things work in Vermont. They'll help each other out. You know, strengthening that, I guess they call it social capital, is an important enterprise, you know, all by itself. So helping people recognize their strengths as a community is a goal of Big Heavy World.
A similar thing in a very different genre is true in Vermont in cheese making. The artisan cheese movement basically got started because a few people who gained the expertise necessary and were perfectly happy and eager to spread their knowledge to other people. And now we've got Vermont cheese all over the place, so, and Vermont music all over the place. I want to talk first about recently you went to the State House to talk about an issue that you see with how state arts funding is distributed. Could you tell us basically what you were concerned about?
Sure, and I hope you don't mind me giving some context, too.
Yeah.
Our state has the Vermont Arts Council, which is a strong, reliable representative for the arts in Vermont, and they've played a role that's important to all of us across the state, and they have a staff of very dedicated, earnest, invested people really giving it their all to do right by the arts community across the state. So there's no issue with the institution responsible for distributing funding to artists in those terms.
And it's important not to throw the baby out with the bathwater and not, you know, just express the criticism, but also remind people that, you know, basically that you have a very positive view of the Vermont arts community.
Absolutely. And that's I think the biggest handicap in this entire spectrum of conversation has been that people respond in occasionally a manner that is unexpectedly not from a position that would advance anything. When you raise a respectful critique, in my opinion, when you're candid, when you walk up to another adult and say, we might be able to make the world better if we hear each other, you expect a conversation to happen. And in my in my experience, it hasn't worked that way 100%. But the specific policy issue that I've come to understand in at the state level relative to funding for the arts is the Arts Council receives all of Vermont's funding for the arts, and it's channeled to the Arts Council in part to hold up as a match to the NEA. Mm-hmm. And is distributed by the Arts Council in part to maintain a sense of equity among those that funding is distributed to. And those are both worthy objectives that serve us all. What I've experienced is when a model such as ours, and this is how this experience came to me in direct terms, Big Heavy World is a champion inclusively of an entire sector of the arts in Vermont. And our model is unique to Vermont. It's you won't find a model where a grassroots organization staffed by volunteering young adults who have chosen to support their community, engage with it, learn technical skills, work as a team in concert for the betterment of the arts across the state. That model is unique. The state could benefit from that model or any other that's innovative or entrepreneurial that's intended to serve the arts in the state with a statewide mission.
So rather than doling out individual grants to individual artists, you want a more comprehensive approach.
A new
aspect of arts funding that would go beyond the individual grants.
In general terms, yes. But what I think the hurdle for us all is, we've lived with a system of distribution of arts funding that takes everything Vermont has to offer the arts financially, channels it through the bottleneck of an institution that delivers it in grants that average $3,000 to $5,000, and maintains from the desk of the director a proactive policy of preventing the legislature from funding arts organizations in any other direction than the Arts Council. What that means, the simple math of that is while Vermont is proposing that it's a fertile place for entrepreneurialism and innovation, it's literally taking the resources meant for the most creative Vermonters and dribbling it out across the state in a manner that does not provide a sum that could be transformative or represent an investment in an entrepreneurial or innovative model that serves the arts. We're limited to what we have and to what we've had for decades. So there's nothing wrong with the Arts Council or the grant program. And I can say that with knowledge from the inside. I've participated on their grant review panels twice. They're absolutely the most ideal, fair model for distributing grants like they do. I absolutely support this program and this process. What I want is for us to reach higher as a state. I want leadership to understand they can't say one thing and do another. If Vermont is a place where there's a creative population that's deserving of support, then let's work together to make that happen and express it across the state.
So when a grant of $3,000 can make a big difference, or a nice difference anyway, to an individual artist in whatever genre, but it can't do anything to foster something brand new, something organizational, or something that's just out there that wants to build something new.
I think you'll find in the arts community that there is deep appreciation for any level of support for any enterprise. There's everything we're talking about is in a framework that's absolutely humble and grateful. Yeah. What we're talking about is, what is our potential? What, if we're smart people gathered up at the state house calling ourselves leaders and saying we're entrepreneurial and innovative, and we look to our right and we're distributing money for creative purposes in tiny little packets in a system that's anachronistic, maybe there's room for improvement. And I think that's what this conversation is meant to reflect, is that, we have the capacity for that kind of change, for that kind of contemplation and action.
Yeah, and as you say, we have tried to foster that sort of spirit in other endeavors. The arts tends to be a little island off to itself, but in fact, the arts are a major economic driver in Vermont, and if we can foster a more diverse, more creative, more outgoing arts scene, then presumably there would be economic growth along with that.
I'm with you there. I want to kind of elbow open that thought a little bit, and that is, when you talk about the arts from the perspective of government, you're typically saying, show me the numbers, and what is its economic contribution? What is the product? How much money will it make? And how much money will it attract? And that's all reasonable, but it's an incomplete assessment. And, my own personal experience, and this isn't intuitive, I've lived this, is to understand that having a vibrant arts community where people who aren't artists are participating and becoming artists, who don't have a product to sell but are being exposed to something positive, like peers saying something important from a stage as musicians, a social gathering that's positive, you know, that's not beer drinking in a sand pit, but rather is cultural. You know, these things matter.
Not that there's anything wrong with beer drinking in a sand pit. It just not shouldn't be your whole life.
We should have options. So there's this whole spectrum, this whole continuum of the arts experience where people aren't necessarily generating taxes or selling products, where there's formative experiences that contribute to the quality of life in Vermont. To, you know, if a young person grows up having a teen center with music on the stage that's supervised and safe and important to them, where their network and their family expands socially, maybe they'll want to stay in Vermont when they're older because Vermont's not all that bad. But if they're isolated and they don't have these opportunities and this enrichment isn't available to them, you know, then we're just sort of evaporating our potential as a community.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I didn't mean to sort of, fence in the impact of the arts in sheer economic terms. It's obviously true that the arts bring money to Vermont, but they also create heavily to the image of Vermont. And the reality of Vermont, which is a very dynamic, creative, you know, interesting place to be.
I agree, and I think that people at, you know, very high levels in the state's administration understand that. You know, I believe that the staff of tourism and marketing are you know, they're very true to understanding the value of Vermont's, you know, unique offerings creatively, and being responsible for development of the brand or purveying the brand of Vermont. I'm very hopeful that, you know, I'm optimistic that the state itself will move in the direction of recognizing music, among other arts, as a resource for accomplishing, you know, the message that Vermont is a very special place.
Yeah. James Lockridge is my guest this morning. He is the founder and head of the Big Heavy World Foundation, online at bigheavyworld.com, right?
That's right.
bigheavyworld.com. It is an organization based in Burlington that supports and promotes music and musicians in Burlington and in Vermont. Your phone calls are welcome, 244-1777, toll-free 1-877-291-8255. We need to hear from a few sponsors. We'll be back with more on Open Mic here on WDEV News Radio. It's impressive what you can accomplish with... Oh, we're back. I'm John Walters, sitting in for Mike Smith on Open Mic Radio here on WDEV News Radio. And we're continuing our discussion during the break, obviously, with James Lockridge of Big Heavy World, talking about the good of the Vermont art scene and maybe how to make it even better. The arts community is so vibrant in Vermont. Is it tough to make a case that it could be even better than it is? Is there kind of a little bit of a sense of comfortableness in the scene?
It's tough for me to speak. I don't think it would be appropriate for me to speak of the arts community, mm-hmm. inclusive of all arts. My experience has been, for the most part, with music, and with some interaction with specific policies that, in very conceptual terms, apparently can use some adjustment. I'd say Vermont's a very rural state, and the artists, musical artists, are separated geographically. And we haven't really accomplished a framework for continual community building in a personal way. You know, people have to travel a ways to perform in different parts of the state to meet other musicians. And, you know, there might in the future be digital opportunities, digital technologies emerging that help bridge that divide. And we've been exposed to some, like Internet 2, which is a latency-free network connection that is faster than the gigabit service we're familiar with in Burlington that would allow musicians in different geographic locations with that service to perform together, practice together, jam together. So, you know, there's potential for addressing that particular issue. You know, Big Heavy World tries to do its best as a grassroots organization with very minimal resources to create a glue that brings people together, that helps different musicians recognize unique talents among each other and mm-hmm. build respect that way, and among them, I mean. And I think that we're fortunate enough to have experienced that. But just because we're scattered so far and wide, it's, you know, I think that's a major challenge.
Yeah, well, Big Heavy World certainly takes advantage of the Internet. You have, as you said earlier, the music archive of Vermont music and musicians, and the low-power FM radio station in Burlington, and remind us of the frequency.
105.9, The Radiator.
The Radiator in Burlington, and that is available online as well, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's an iPhone app, and it's in iTunes and the Eclectic Radio section as well.
You probably occasionally get like correspondence from the Ukraine or something.
all our DJs produce their own shows and develop their own audiences, and there have been European audiences for specific shows, and it's been fun to learn that.
Yeah, yeah. The Internet is great for that sort of unexpected community building. You have had your disagreements with the Burlington City Arts. And again, we want to preface this and continually remind people that you think that by and large they are doing good work.
That's absolutely, absolutely what their history and our present is.
Yeah.
Burlington City Arts is the city's arts office, and it works to enrich the lives of Burlington citizens by exposing them to the arts, both, you know, as an audience and for events and in general, but also in educational programs. And they do a tremendous job of that Burlington has benefited from, received recognition for, sustains with, you know, genuine enthusiasm. And, you know, the conversation we're having now is very similar to one that I've had in the last year or so, very directly with the director of Burlington City Arts as well. So this is, you know, I think Burlington is fortunate to have an organization that is so dedicated to what it does and does it so well. The conversation that I suspect we're heading into now, it does not relate to the quality of work or the quality of staff or the efficacy of the mission that BCA is accomplishing at the moment. It relates to something peripheral to that.
Which is, I guess, at least in large part, the fact that it is predominantly oriented toward the visual arts, which is only one portion of the art spectrum.
Predominantly, yes. When you examine the work of BCA, you understand that from the start, they've been dedicated to addressing what the public explained were its needs for the visual arts. They've gathered and invested millions of dollars in a center for the visual arts, mostly contemporary exhibit space. And their programming is in great part oriented towards visual arts. And the issue arises when the remainder of the arts community reflects on the fact that when our city arts office was formed as an arts office of the city, as a municipal office, in lowercase letters, it was an arts office. And as it's experienced its productive history as an arts office, it's made tremendous, meaningful investments in the visual arts over time. But it's occupied the space of an arts office, which the arts community looks to support the arts community as a whole. So the work of BCA is valuable and admirable, but incomplete if we are to genuinely consider it to be a city arts office.
You have been industriously polite to them. But you did send me a copy of a letter that you sent to Burlington City Council in which you used words like insular and anachronistic governance and things like that, which makes it sound like there is a broader critique at work here.
Well, I think there's a couple things that are in motion. One is we have a city arts office that could serve more arts more broadly, more inclusively, and more collaboratively. Mm-hmm. It could, if it chose to. That's the issue that is, you know, when you're on the outside looking in, that's what's apparent. What has become troublesome and exhausting has been the attempt to have the dialogue with BCA as a body. And that leads to use of terms like anachronistic governance structure. the BCA has an advisory board, which is not a governing board, it's an advisory board. It has directed by an appointee of the mayor, not an elected official, but an appointee of the mayor. And when you approach BCA with respectful critique, the response seems to be the unilateral voice of the director, who has the full support of Mayor Weinberger, and there is no option for mediation. There's no ombudsman. There's no committee dedicated to receiving issues from the community. And the reason this conversation emerged in the first place, and I'd like if you give me the chance to describe how it emerged. Structurally, I mean, you find there are members of the community over the period of 20 years or more that BCA has existed who have felt that they've been, to some degree, they've been affected by BCA in a negative way, and they would like to address that with BCA. And as a messenger of this community, I've spoken to the board of BCA four times. They meet every 2 months, so this has gone on for several years, and invited that they...
Predates Mayor Weinberger, I should say.
I think this conversation began early in his term.
Okay.
And my conversation with the board of BCA has been, there are issues in the community that the community would like you to know about so you can resolve them as a, you know, an advisory board to this organization. And there was never a response from the board until ultimately in a executive committee meeting of the BCA board, the director told me that the lack of response is the response. And that underscored for me the understanding that we were not seeking to interact with a body that was truly representative. It did not reflect the values that the community assumes a city administration and a city office should embody. If somebody has a critique of government,
of the sewer department or the parks or something,
you know, there should be somebody saying, I'm willing to hear your critique, and if there's a problem I can address, I'll address it. But that conversation was denied methodically until it was confirmed that it was intended to be denied methodically. And of course, I say of course, but I mean, this is my experience. I had to ask the city of Burlington to warn BCA's advisory board meetings publicly, which they then did. And then I had to ask the city of Burlington to please add public comment to the agenda so that I could pose these questions. And then they did. And all of this is years down the road into, you know, their functioning as a city office. So, you know, and I say all of this as though It's, you know, this is all just the facts of experience. This isn't a perception or a judgment. This is, I'm telling you, you know, what has factually, historically happened in my experience. And what I'm hoping to come out the other end interpreting this experience as is that BCA has an advisory board that in part is a framework for philanthropical support to travel to the city. Only 40% of BCA's budget is tax funded. The point is there's a lot of people involved on the BCA advisory board. I don't have an issue with anybody on the advisory board for their genuine interest in supporting arts locally, whether it's financially or just lending their experience to it. There, you know, it's like, thank you for being there is my message to the BCA board. However, I also challenge anybody on that board to live up to expectations of them as leaders and public servants. They chose to advise. If they're going to advise how our city spends its resources and develops its arts policies, they should do that in an informed way that has some structure evident for interacting with their community so that it can happen in the first place.
James Lockridge is my guest here on Open Mic. I'm John Walters sitting in for Mike Smith today. Your call's welcome, 244-1777, toll free, 1-877-291-8255. James is with Big Heavy World, a nonprofit foundation that supports and promotes area music and musicians. Burlington does have a very lively visual art scene. It has a very lively music scene. It has a lot of theater. It has a comedy club. It has so much going on that it seems like a much larger city than it really is. What could improve in that whole dynamic if BCA had a more broad view of its mission?
Well, when you look around in, you know, the modern era, you see people coming together, not just as individuals and, you know, respecting and supporting each other as artists, etc., but you see institutions working together. You see the Farm to Plate Network. You see the work of the arm of the Arts Council called the Vermont Creative Network, mm-hmm. which is, you know, which comprehends that there are very positive-minded frameworks for working together. And they're making an effort to bring the creative community of the state together as institutions and individuals. So this energy has been validated. The value of collaboration has been made known and is acted on institutionally at very high levels. However, in Burlington, the potential of arts institutions working together hasn't been met yet. Of course it happens to a degree, but the city itself hasn't decided that the arts should be supported via a mechanism that brings institutions together so that all of the wisdom of their experience is gathered into one place and our decisions about how we spend $800,000 plus in tax money are the best decisions possible. There's multiple theater groups, there's dance groups, there's, you know, literary interests. And of course, there's an institution that's been there for 20 years, run by kids, involving them in the arts, respecting and responsible to artists of musical artists of all genres and skill levels within the city, you know, for all that time, without any formal interaction relating to policy or how resources are spent with the city, although we've sought it. So we know that the city, you know, and part of that shortcoming in this long view that could lead towards empowerment of our arts community through collaboration has been the city hasn't been exposed to models for it. So if you approach the city and say we should all get together, they don't know how. And I'd like for them to seek to achieve that understanding and activate the arts community, and that could be a model for other sectors too.
I think my producer is probably getting a little nervous looking at the clock. We do need to take a break. We'll be back with more with James Lockridge of Big Heavy World after these words. We're back on Open Mic on WDEV News Radio. I'm John Walters. Thanks for listening this morning and putting up with my guest hosting. We're about 5 minutes away from the end of the show, and we are talking this hour about the Vermont and Burlington art scenes with James Lockridge of Big Heavy World. And one of the things that's of great concern in Vermont political circles these days is our aging population, which I'm doing my best to continue to age. And the concern about the number of young people who live here and work here and raise families here. And I would think that in tangible ways and in very intangible ways, that the better the art scene is, the more likely we are to keep and retain and attract young people.
I agree with that. It you know, my head sort of bounces forward a little bit from that thought to how the state has, you know, many concurrent agendas. You know, they'd like there to be successful workforce development. There's an opiate issue. They'd like prevention to be commonplace. And there's educational interests in general. And all of these interests are distributed among agencies or programs that don't really connect well. And the people responsible for them are given a job description and a budget, and if they color outside the lines, they run a risk.
Yeah.
And if they don't color outside the lines, then we're stuck with coloring books for the rest of our lives and we never make art. and this is, you know, if from an administration level, with recognition of the value of the arts as a context for inspiring and engaging and empowering, and with a license to the different agencies or departments of the state to actually figure out how to work together to create a platform that's arts related that can support these multiple, you know, agendas, then we could make progress with our young people along the lines you're describing. You know, the state values its young people, but also defunded the Vermont Coalition of Teen Centers a few years ago. So it's you know, it's one of those things where you could have organizations like Big Heavy World where we're playing with high technology, doing something we're passionate about as young people, learning and working together in the context of the arts. You could have that all over the state if the state were willing to explore combining its interests and you know, having outcomes that are accomplished more economically or efficiently because of that combination.
And you're not necessarily talking about throwing a bunch of money at the arts community. You're talking about creating a network, a system, a something that fosters the innate energy that, you know, you found within yourself and so many of your colleagues have found within themselves, and making it possible for them to work together and fit together in new ways.
Absolutely. You know, if the governor gave a license for some adventurous, you know, collaboration making, then people would not feel threatened to try it. And, you know, valuing youth, I guess there's politically safe ways to do that, but it's also a demographic that we're trying to teach how to make decisions, and sometimes those decisions are bad. So if you make that the center point of your political career, you know, you do run... You may experience what you consider to be jeopardy at some point. But if you don't make that investment, if you don't make that gamble, then we'll never get where we're talking we'd like to go.
Well, James, thank you very much for coming in today, and best of luck with what you're doing and with what you're trying to do to make Vermont arts more inclusive.
Thank you very much, John.
James Lockridge of the Big Heavy World Foundation, which you can find online in all its glory at bigheavyworld.com. Well, that's it for the show today. Common Sense Radio coming up next on WDEV. Thanks for listening. I'm John Walters at the VPO.